Good morning, everyone.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out. Turn with me to James chapter 5. Now, back in September, you may remember that we began this sermon series through the book of James that is called Wisdom from Above. And again, the writer, James, he writes and shares about wisdom from above, or in other words, wisdom from God, concerning how we can be devoted and loyal to Him. So, we started this sermon series back in September, and now today, we finally will be able to finish it, Lord willing. So, we're here in James chapter 5. We're going to be focusing on verses 13 to 20. So, this is the 14th and final sermon in this series. And you may remember, in recent sermons, we have been focusing mainly on the topic of suffering. Now, we talked about how we should be patient in times of suffering, and then we also talked about how we should not make oaths in times of suffering. So for today, James ends this letter by focusing on prayers. How should we pray in our times of suffering? What is the appropriate way for us to approach prayers in times of suffering? So I hope you're here with me. James chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 to 20. Please follow along as I read. Verse 13. James says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Verse 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Verse 19. "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover multitude of sins." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as always, it's such a pleasure to come to church to worship you, to sing your praises, and to look in your word. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is a lamp among our feet and a light on our path. Father, give us the way that we should go as we live this life to obey you and to please you and have wisdom to be devoted and loyal to you. Father, I pray that you would continue to teach us, because as always, many of us may be experiencing times of suffering. Father, teach us how we should approach in prayer during these hard times. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So today we're going to be answering three questions from this passage. So if you'd like to take notes, you can write these down. First question that we're going to ask is this: why should we pray in times of suffering? Right? I think that's a valid question. Why should we pray in times of suffering? Then we'll move on to our second question. Then we'll ask, what can we pray for in times of suffering? So after asking why, then we're going to ask, what can we actually pray for in times of suffering? And our third and final question is, how can we pray for one another in times of suffering? How can we pray for one another in times of suffering? So those three questions again. Number one, why should we pray in times of suffering? Number two, what can we pray for in times of suffering? And number three, how can we pray for one another in times of suffering? So we'll answer these questions through this text that we read today. So starting with the first question, why should we pray in times of suffering? So let's start from verse 13 again. So James begins this passage, and he first asks, is anyone among you suffering? So James begins by asking anyone if they find themselves in these particular situations. Is anyone among you suffering? So, I mean, this is actually a rhetorical question. Of course, there's bound to be people in his church who are suffering. And of course, even for us, there are bound to be times where we will go through times of suffering. So this is a rhetorical question, and James isn't asking because he actually doesn't know, but he's actually pointing out the fact that there are people who are suffering. But what are we to do when we are suffering? Let's read the rest of verse 13. He says, "Let him pray. Let him pray." So James commands us to pray when we are suffering. But then he also goes on and he asks a different question. And he says, "Is anyone cheerful?" Now, this is also a rhetorical question. Of course, there are bound to be people in his church where they find themselves very happy in times of where they're cheerful. And even for us, we also find times in our lives when we are happy and are cheerful as well. This is a rhetorical question. James isn't asking because he actually wants to know. He's asking because he wants to point out the fact that there are people who are cheerful. But what should we do when we are cheerful? What he says. He says, "Let him sing praise." So James commands us to worship. So what is James saying here? He's saying, if you are suffering, if anyone who's suffering, or in other words, experiencing a lot of afflictions or going through trials, your response is to pray. Or if you are cheerful, if you are happy, your response is to worship, to sing praise. Both of these responses, prayer and worship, both of them are related to our relationship with God. But you see, James isn't just saying that, oh, these are the only two times that you should be in relationship with God. Only when you're suffering and you pray, and only when you are cheerful and you want to worship God. No. You see, being in times of suffering and being in times of cheerfulness, these are represents the two extremes of all the experiences that we can have. Whether you're down in the good and in the bad times, or whether you are cheerful in the happy times. So really, by saying these two extremes, he's representing everything. Any type of experience that we have from being in times of suffering, from being in times of cheerfulness, and both of these responses, both of these experiences require worship and prayer, or in other words, being in relationship with God, then what is James actually saying? James is saying that in all experiences of our lives, whether we are suffering, whether we are cheerful, our response is to pray, is to worship, or in other words, to be in relationship with God. To be in relationship with God. So let's answer our first question. Why should we pray in times of suffering? Here's the answer. In good and bad experiences of life, God calls you to be in relationship with him. Say it one more time. In good and bad experiences of life, God calls you to be in relationship with him. In verse 14, James gives another, a third situation. Is anyone among you sick? And what does he say? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So even when we are sick, which is an example of suffering, we are to even gather the church together to pray. The response is still the same. The response is for us to be in relationship with God. So my daughter, Olive, just turned 2 months recently. Like, for many of us, 2 months doesn't seem to be, like, a long period of time, right? It can just go by so quickly like that. But for Olive, in those 2 months, that's essentially her whole life. And in those 2 months, she has experienced a lot. You know, and as her father, I basically want her to like me, okay? I want her to be in a close relationship with me. I want her to call and to rely on me. And as I go through fatherhood, I begin to see more and more how our relationship between our parents is actually really reflecting upon how God relates to us. So I begin to see more and more about how God deals and relates to us as I be a parent. So in these past 2 months, Olive has gone through many different experiences. Of course, there is hunger. You know, when she wants food, she wants milk, she would just cry out for Joyce and I until we give her that bottle. Or if she has a poopy diaper, no, that's a different type of cry. We can recognize that. Actually, the cry is basically fartings. But we can be able to tell when she's pooping, and she calls out to us, and we have to provide for her. Or even, I think some of you may have saw the video that Joyce posted on Facebook recently with Olive being on a tummy time, and like she was like just struggling to get her head up and like she's trying to roll over. Usually after we give her like a tummy time, we would pick her up, and then she would start like, I don't know, it's just a sort of like this anger type of thing. It's like as if she's like yelling at us, like, why did you put me down on my stomach like that? But you know, she is calling out to us. And also at this point in time, like she really recognizes Joyce, and now she knows when we're not in the house, when we're away. So there would be times when like my mom is here, so my mom would take care of her, and Joyce and I would be really probably be at church. And when we come back home, as soon as we open the door and we start talking, she would recognize our voice, and then she would start crying, because she recognizes us. And actually, in the past couple of Sundays, actually it didn't happen today. My mom has said that's like, you know, when I started preaching, you know, she in the congregation she would like hear my voice and actually start crying too. So she didn't hear me today. So you sleeping? Okay, good. But the thing is that she recognizes our voice. And you know, John chapter 10, verse 27, you know, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know, so to be in close relationship with God means to recognize his voice and to obey him, to call out to him. So if we have a relationship with Jesus, we would recognize his voice, just as how Olive would recognize Joyce and my voice. In Olive's times of suffering, you know, in these 2 months, these experiences that she had, she called out and she relied on us. But also in these 2 months, she also had times where she was happy and she was cheerful. Like when she listens to music, or when she smiles when we play with her, or when she feels content after being fed or being changed. See, Joyce and I, we share in this joy with her. We have a relationship with her. And likewise, you know, in our good and bad experiences in life, God also desires to share in our experiences with us. God desires to be in relationship with us. He calls us to be with him. And I think it is very appropriate for James to end this book, you know, his letter, by talking about prayer and by talking about our relationship with him. You know, because remember, in this whole letter, James has focused on three particular themes. You know, James focused on the testing of our trials. You know, he focused on wisdom concerning our speech, what we should say and what we shouldn't say. And he focused on like the theme of poverty and wealth, the difference in the socioeconomic disparity, and how we should respond in these situations so that we can be faithful, devoted, and loyal to him. In other words, to be in relationship with God. In other words, to be in a growing, loving, and intimate relationship with him. So that's why it's so appropriate for James to end this letter by focusing on prayer and our relationship with God. Again, number one, why should we pray in times of suffering? We said in good and bad experiences of life, God calls you to be in relationship with him. So I encourage you all to pray and worship God always, whether it's good, whether you have good times or bad times. Do you recognize the fact that God is calling out to you, that God desires for you to be with him and to grow closer to him, that how he's pained when you sin and you go far away from him? This is how much that God loves and cares for you. I encourage you to spend a daily time, a devotional in his word. So look to see how God is calling out to you even in your times of suffering, especially if it's going to be very hard. Turn to him in prayer. So now that we know why we should pray in times of suffering, then, of course, the next question that we'll ask is, what can we actually pray for? You know, okay, I know I should pray, but when I pray, what should I focus on? What should I pray for? So this brings us to our second question. What can we pray for in times of suffering? Let's continue on, read with me, starting from verse 14. James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So here James asks another rhetorical question. He's asking, is anyone among you sick? Again, he's not asking because he doesn't know. He's asking and pointing out the fact that there are times when we are sick as an example of suffering. And actually the word sick in Greek is also like representative of any type of weakness. So it doesn't have to be applying to when you are ill or in a certain type of sickness, but anytime you feel weak, this also applies to you. They're all examples of suffering. So what does James command us to do when we are sick? He says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So this seems to be a very unusual response, right? Because you'd be like, oh, if I'm feeling sick, if I'm feeling weak, why should I call for the elders of the church? No, shouldn't you be calling a doctor? Shouldn't you be getting some medicine? It seems like a very unusual response. So let's say that you, I don't know, like with the snow that we have experienced recently, you probably, your parents made you go out and shovel the driveway, right? So let's say that you're shoveling your driveway and you got like a cold or a fever. So you go back inside. Next morning when you wake up and you realize that you're coughing and you got like a stuffy nose or a runny nose and or even a high fever. So what if your parents or maybe even your roommates comes to you and say, oh, you know what? You should go see the elders of the church. It seems like a very unusual response, right? Or let's say that you're playing a sport and you get hurt, or maybe you're just playing out in the snow and you slip on some ice and you broke your leg. And then someone comes up to you and is like, ooh, this looks so bad. Look at all the blood. Is that your femur sticking out there? You know what? He pulls out his phone. Let's call the elders of the church. Like, what? Shouldn't you call 911? Shouldn't you call for an ambulance? It's such a weird response to call for the elders of the church. Or I mean, many of you know that I recently got sick, and I was like coughing a lot, and I got Olive sick, and then Olive got Joyce sick. So our family was sick for a while. But what if Joyce is like, oh, Olive's cough is so rough, I'm concerned. I know that she can't really take any medicine now. You know, we should call for the elders of the church. I mean, I was like, yeah, we should call for the wait, that's me. Huh. Again, it seems very unusual for us to think about calling for the elders of the church in times of sickness, in times of suffering, when we usually think we should call the doctor. So here in verse 14, what is James actually trying to say here? You see, by calling for the elders of the church, you know, the elders, they can be able to pray for the sick or the weak person. So James is saying that, you know, sometimes when we call for the elders of the church because this sickness is actually a spiritual matter. And when we talk about spiritual matters, it requires prayer. Because sometimes our sickness can stem from, you know, as a result of sin. Now, this isn't always the case. You know, sometimes we are sick as a consequence of someone else's sin, or even if there is no correlation between our sickness and sin. You know, just the fact that there is death, that there is sickness, there's pain and suffering, reminds us of the broken world that we live in. You know, all these things entered the world when Adam and Eve sinned against God, when they first sinned. And this was part of the consequences of our sin. It shows whenever we're sick, suffering, whatever it is, that we are in need of our Savior. So our sicknesses, our times of suffering, no matter what it is a spiritual matter because it affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with God. You know, when I got sick, I didn't really tell you why or how I got sick. There are probably a couple of times where I took out the trash and I didn't put on a jacket and I was still in my pajamas because I was too lazy to change. And also there are times where I stayed up, like the night before I realized I was sick, that I stayed up like very, very late. So essentially my sin was that I wasn't taking care of my body. I wasn't taking care of the body that God had it gave me. I mean, I realized this after examining my heart. But like I said, not all sicknesses, not all types of suffering is a direct correlation to your sin. But again, it's supposed to remind us that it affects our relationship with God. So that's why even if you look at the last part of verse 15, it says, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So when we pray, we should also be you know, asking for forgiveness of our sins. These are the things that we should be doing when we are, when James says that we are calling elders of the church to pray for us. Again, because it's a spiritual matter that affects our relationship with God. Let's answer our second question. So what can we pray for in times of suffering? Here's the answer. Do not only pray for your physical circumstances, but also pray for your spiritual circumstances that affect your relationship with God. So again, do not only pray for your physical circumstances, but also pray for your spiritual circumstances that affect your relationship with God. You know, back in our first point, you know, we said that, you know, in general, in good and bad experiences of our life, God has called you to be in relationship with Him. And part of being in a growing, intimate, and loving relationship with God requires that we are praying for forgiveness, praying for the forgiveness of our sins, because it's sin that what mars our relationship with Him. And it is related to our times of sickness, our times of suffering. This is a spiritual matter. This is a spiritual matter. So whenever you're going through any type of sickness, any type of suffering, take some time to examine yourself. See if there's anything that you need to ask God for forgiveness for. And I, like I said, again, it's not necessary that all types of sicknesses is related to a direct correlation with your sin. It could be someone else's sin, but again, it affects your relationship with God. Pray also for your physical circumstances. So, but James isn't just saying here, oh, you shouldn't go to the doctor, you shouldn't take medication, you shouldn't care about your physical condition and just care about your spiritual condition and ask God for forgiveness. Rather, He encourages you to pray for your physical condition. He encourages you to pray for healing, to pray for sickness and relief from your suffering. And because He actually relates to the physical circumstances. Looking back in verse 14, James says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, you know, this anointing of oil, this is equivalent of applying medicine in James' time. So James is saying, care about your physical circumstances. See the doctor. Go get some medicine. Because even in that sense, it is a spiritual relationship as well. Because it is God who is the one who heals you through the doctor. It is God who is the one who heals you through the medication. Even this affects your relationship with God. So again, question number two, what can we pray for in our times of suffering? Do not only pray for your physical circumstances, but also pray for your spiritual circumstances that affect your relationship with God. Now, when we are in our times of suffering, no, we aren't to only focus on ourselves. We aren't to only pray for our own relationship with God, whether it is a physical or spiritual thing. But at the same time, do we actually care about the relationship with God with, among like other people in the church, our brothers and sisters? Do we care whether they are growing in an intimate and loving relationship with God and are transformed by His word? You know, we aren't to only pray for ourselves, but we should pray for the spiritual condition of others. So there was a time that I was shopping at Walmart and I was very hungry. And then I noticed that they were having this sale on these, like, you know, small personal pies. You know, they're only like 4 inch in diameter. You know, usually they sell them for like a dollar each, but I noticed that they're selling 25 cents each. And it's not like it was expired or anything. Like, I don't know why. They had different flavors. So I bought 4 of them. So I was pretty happy. I was like, this is going to be able to satisfy my need. This is going to be able to make me, like, not hungry anymore. So as I was leaving the Walmart parking lot, about to get on the highway, there was a homeless man on the side holding a sign, and he was asking basically anything that would be able to help. And I felt for him, like I wanted to care for him. And I looked to my side, and I see the pies that I just bought, all 4 of them. And I was like, here, take my pies. I'm gonna, this is how I care for you. I'm gonna continue to pray for you, and I hope that you get back up on your feet. Now, I'm not sharing this story just because, just to show, oh, look at me, I'm such a good person. But really, I want to say, like, I mean, I was hungry as well, and after I gave away my pies, I didn't have anything for myself. Like, we shouldn't care about our own needs, but we should also care about the needs of other people. Now, even though I didn't have any pies left after I gave them all to him, but when it comes to prayer, if you pray for someone else, you still can be able to pray for yourself. Well, that's pretty much like the beauty of it. We can be able to have access and be in relationship with God anytime, anywhere, and no matter how long. We can pray for ourselves, for our physical circumstances, our spiritual circumstances, and we could also pray for those things for our brothers and sisters at the same time. So this is why we also need to ask this third question. How can we pray for one another in times of suffering? And actually, I'll give you the answer to this one right away. So how can we pray for one another in times of suffering? Here's the answer. Be willing to confess your sins to one another, and then respond by praying in faith. Praying in faith for one another's relationship with God. So one more time, be willing to confess your sins to one another, and then respond by praying in faith for one another's relationship with God. So we'll see that's here starting from verse 16. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and it is working. So if we want to see God heal us from sickness and suffering, we have to pray for one another. And I know that James says to call on the elders of the church to pray, but this isn't just the responsibility of the elders. It isn't just the responsibility of the leaders in the church. It is the responsibility of everyone. So first, you know, James says, the first step is to confess our sins to one another. You know, how can we know how to pray for one another, especially in our relationship with God, if we don't know what we are struggling with, if we don't know what sins that we are experiencing? So I know that it is really hard for us to really confess our sins to one another, because we don't want other people to think badly of us. We don't want other people to think, oh, you're struggling with this, and you fail in this area? That's very shameful. And especially in our Chinese culture, we don't want to like talk about our struggles and our sins. But here, James says to confess your sins to one another. And I think that as a church, if we change the culture, if we know that our brothers and sisters genuinely care about us, genuinely care about our relationship with God and what we're struggling with, then I think we would be more likely and more open to confess our sins to one another, to really share, I'm actually struggling in this area. I'm tempted in this area. I sometimes doubt God. By confessing these sins, we can be able to know how to pray for one another. You know, this is why James says we have to confess our sins to one another. And then after doing that, then we can be able to pray. But we don't just pray in any way. James says that we are to pray in faith. So look at this in verse 15. James says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So when we talk about praying in faith, or like faithfully praying, basically we're saying that we are praying in a way that we know and believe that God can be able to heal, that God can be able to save someone from that situation. But of course, this has to be done according to his will. So when we pray for one another, pray in faith. Pray knowing that God has the power to heal, to forgive, and to restore. But also recognizing that he is to do so according to his will. So again, question number three, how can we pray for one another in our times of suffering? We said, be willing to confess your sins to one another and then respond by praying in faith for one another's relationship with God. At the end of verse 16, you know, that's why James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. So it's not necessary that it is the prayers itself that has great power, but it is what God can do. You know, God listens to our prayer, and he is the one that actually has the great power to be able to respond and to work. So to illustrate this, James goes on and he gives the example of the prophet Elijah. Read with me starting from verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Well, here it says that the prophet Elijah is just like, he's a human being, just like any one of us. And yet, what did he do? He still prayed. And it says he prayed fervently. And like, pray fervently, it literally means he prayed a prayer. It really shows the endurance and how much and how hard and how he prayed in faith. And you know, in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, you know, we see that God used the prophet Elijah to deal with King Ahab. So Elijah prayed that it won't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then later on, Elijah prayed that it will rain, and it began to rain again after a long famine. So when we pray, we can be able to see God's power that results according to his will. So therefore, at the same time, when we pray for one another's relationship with God, we can also result and see how God can be able to work in sickness, how God can be able to work in restoring someone's in their relationship with him, in their times of suffering. It's possible to see God's power at work. Of course, again, this is according to his will. So again, I want to ask all of you, do we care about our relationships not only with one another, but also one another's relationship with God? Especially when they're going through times of sickness, especially when they're going through times of suffering or any type of trial that will test their relationship with God. Remember earlier how I talked about the homeless man who I gave my pies to? You know, he was begging for some needs. He was begging to be cared for. And I think in the church, there are many people, maybe even us, who are actually spiritual beggars. You know, they aren't necessarily holding a cardboard sign that says, please pray for me, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. And you know, there are spiritual beggars in the church. There are people who need prayer, who need help. So I encourage you, don't just wait for someone to say, oh, can you, to share a prayer request and say, hey, can you pray for me? Or don't wait until something actually happens before you say, oh, I should probably pray for that person. Rather, take initiative and think about, well, who is God putting on your heart to pray for, especially in their relationship with God, especially in their times of suffering and sickness? Is there someone maybe in your among your friends, your family, who's not a believer? Pray that they pray in faith that they will find a relationship with them and that God can save them. Or maybe, do you notice if there's someone in our church who may be struggling in their relationship with God? You know, someone who is sick, someone who is tempted with sin, someone who is believing a false doctrine, or someone who maybe have even stopped coming to church completely. Do we think about them? Reach out to them and pray in faith that God can be able to restore them. You know, as a church, we need to pray and care for one another's relationship with God in addition to our own relationship with God. Now, I think at this time, I think we need to continue to pray for the Shaw family. You know, after Pastor Shaw has passed away, pray for Sophia, pray for Mrs. Shaw, pray for James and the rest of their family as they're going through this time of grieving. This is a time of testing for them that can affect the relationship with God. If we care about the relationship with God, then we should be praying for them. And at the same time, maybe look around us. Maybe you notice that there's someone who hasn't been coming to church recently. Maybe they've been just overburdened with like schoolwork. Maybe they are going through something that prevents them from coming to church. Take notice of these things and pray for them and reach out to them. Again, question number 3, how can we pray for one another in times of suffering? We said be willing to confess our sins to one another and then respond by praying in faith for one another's relationship with God. And let's read conclude with the last 2 verses here in James. James says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James here gives this particular example about what can happen when we pray for one another, especially someone who may be going further away spiritually in their relationship with God. We can be able to save them, and they can be able to have forgiveness of sin. Now, this is why I think James ends his letter like this. So let us review everything that we've learned from this passage. We'd ask three questions. So question number one, we first ask, why should we pray for or pray in times of suffering? And we said, in good and bad experiences of life, God calls you to be in relationship with him. Question number two, what can we pray for in times of suffering? And we said, do not only pray for your physical circumstances, but also pray for your spiritual circumstances that affect your relationship with God. And then finally, number three, as we just said, how can we pray for one another in times of suffering? We said, be willing to confess your sins to one another and then respond by praying in faith for one another's relationship with God. Now, it's so appropriate for James to end this letter by focusing on prayer and our relationship with God. Now, we started this sermon series back in September, and we went through focusing on wisdom from God on how we can be faithful and loyal to him. Now, we talked about many different topics. We talked about how to respond in our trials and temptations, how to be doers of God's word, not showing favoritism, how to know what is true wisdom from false wisdom, how not to be prideful in our speech or prideful in our planning, how we are not to love riches, how we are to be patient and not make oaths in our times of suffering, and now prayers in our times of suffering. So all of these things that was talked about here in this book of James, they affect our relationship with God. They show how we can be devoted and loyal to him. So that's why it's so important that we end this letter by focusing on our prayer and focusing on a relationship with God that calls us to confess our sins to one another and to pray in faith for one another so that we can all grow in our relationship with God and be devoted and loyal to him. Now, as a church, I believe that we can be able to do this. We can be able to apply this wisdom from above that we've learned through this book of James and be able to grow in our relationship with him. This is wisdom from above. Let us bow our heads and continue to grow in our relationship with him through prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word and the powerful message that you have spoken to us. And Lord, this may be something that we may be struggling with. And Father, I pray that we will meditate upon it and think about how we can be able to apply in our lives. Help us to care about not only our physical circumstances and our suffering, but also our spiritual circumstances. Where are we in our relationship with you? Do we feel that we're growing closer to you every day? Do we feel we're backsliding or stagnant? Lord, help us to be honest with where we are and recognize that you're calling us to be in relationship with you. And at the same time, Lord, help us to be able to care about one another's relationship with you. Lord, open our eyes to be able to see the hurting people in our church, those who need restoration, those who need forgiveness of sins. Lord, we desire to be in this relationship with you. And Lord, we know that we can be able to have this hope because of what your son did on the cross, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and given us salvation through faith in him. Lord, we're forever thankful for that. Lord, this is the hope that keeps us moving forward in this life. This is the hope that drives us to share the gospel message to other people. This is the hope that helps us to be reminded to pray for one another. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. Give us this hope as we go forth from here. And Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.